This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9, and this is the morning run. I think at this time of day, it's not yet a run. It's a fast jog, I think, is best we can describe our pace at this time of day. What do you think?
I've already done my run.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I'm still half asleep, actually.
Yeah, so much so you forgot to introduce who we are.
Oh, people know about by now, I think.
No, you are Khoo Soo Chuang and I'm Wong Shaoning, just
I'm
in
Wong
case.
I'm Wong Shaoning and you are Khoo Soo Chuang. How are you feeling this morning, my dear? All right?
Pretty good, considering tomorrow is the Malaysia Day.
That is the best part about this week. The fact that you are interrupted in your productivity halfway through the week because of the hump, the holiday hump.
Yeah, but it's also a significant day for us Malaysians.
Do you feel nationalistic? Do you feel loyal, patriotic?
I do. And I hope that we get this sense of nationhood more and more, right?
Because, is that the collective or the singular?
I mean, a lot has happened in 2020. We had a change of government in February, March, thereabouts. We had COVID-19. A lot of things to, I guess, to contemplate and be reflective of, but also hopeful for the future.
Yeah, I think the main thing is to be always looking forward and to be positive. Half glass full, always better than half empty.
Exactly.
So what are you going to do tonight? You're going to, you know, break out the jalo gamelang and and the bubbly and, you know.
I think it's going to be a bit of a quiet night for me because I have some important things to prep for Wednesday and Thursday.
Work never ends. It's a bit like New York. It never sleeps.
It never sleeps, exactly.
Okay, so what are you going to talk about in a couple minutes?
I'm going to be asking you whether you are willing to take a flight in this COVID-19 era. Do you think the odds are stacked against you?
Okay, and I talk about how the thing that you just described, that four-letter word that ends with K, might be a hybrid one in future. Don't go away, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Lust for Life by Iggy Pop on the soundtrack of Trainspotting, I think the original Trainspotting with Ewan McGregor. A seminal movie from a century ago, I think.
1990,
something like that. It feels like an aeon, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a different movie during its era. I remember there was some toilet scene, right? It was quite traumatic.
There were a few toilet scenes.
They were very traumatic.
Some messier than others.
Yes.
Yeah, it's also a year ago today that I spoke to Tun Mahathir on The Breakfast Grill, and it's equally, it seems like an eon ago that that happened.
Yeah, like I said,
so much has happened. 12 months, you know.
A lot has changed, right?
He's gone. Well, not gone, but he's like been deposed in more than one way.
And formed a new party called Pejuang.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a new prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live with COVID-19
mm-hmm.
with no vaccine in sight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's enough depression for the day because we also have a lot to look forward to.
And luckily, we've got a Lust for Life. So tell me what's on your mind, my dear.
On my mind,
yeah.
In terms of like what to expect,
the BBC story that we've
got in front of us. Yeah. Story. Okay, it's about the post COVID-19 era, right?
That's
so
right.
The question is, do you still want to fly, considering all things? And the title of it, it's not a BBC story; it's a CNN travel story.
CNN. Okay,
you've got to stop this Roger accent, Uncle Roger accent. I mean, the question is, the odds of catching COVID-19 on an airplane are slimmer than you think. So that's what scientists say. But is that enough to convince us to travel today? And for me, at this juncture, I think, unless travel is absolutely necessary, there's a real clear reason. Because let's say I need it if I'm a student, I need to get back to university. My loved one is on the other side of the world.
No choice.
Yeah, I would do it. But leisure for this juncture, no.
Yeah, you know how the press, you know how the media world works nowadays, right? There's all these things called cyber troopers and lobby groups and all these things like keyboard warriors. Sometimes, in fact, I would say oftentimes, corporations and governments use these people to influence public thinking. And of course, algorithms like Cambridge Analytica and Facebook, right? You would imagine that the airline lobby groups would be putting all kinds of anecdotes and stories and things like that to say that, oh, it's okay to fly, start flying, the chances of infection are slim and all that. But it takes just one anecdote to convince you otherwise. I'll give you an example, right? I was with a friend of mine, a fintech CEO a few days ago, and he had gotten an epiphany, okay?
He's in
his early 50s. He's made his money, but he's doing this kind of like out of passion and also to see whether he can do it or not, okay? So he says that during MCO time, he came to the realization, and this is incredible for me because I know this to be a fact, right? He said, actually, you don't need a lot of money to be happy. Actually, you just need to have the simple things in life. And it taught him that money isn't everything. And he,
can I just ask whether he does have
a lot
of money?
He's already made his money.
Yeah, so I say, hey, bro. I always find it funny that the people who have a lot of money tell us, the ones who don't have so much money.
You try and tell a poor 20-something-year-old that, okay, so don't talk nonsense, lah, okay? So anyway, the point of it is that he told me that he knew this banker, one of his ex-colleagues, right, who had scored the deal of his lifetime in March, okay, pre-MCO, couldn't close out the deal. After airlines were allowed to fly again, he did fly to London. He did fly to London to put the pen to paper. On the way back in the plane, he caught COVID. And a month later, his friend was shuffled off this mortal coil.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
you know, yeah. There goes the risk.
Yeah. So it's
the
a bit
odds.
Like that.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit like the Alanis Morissette song. It's ironic, right? That
But I wonder. I mean, today with what we know about COVID-19 and how it spreads, and the precautions that we can take, and some of the precautions airlines are taking, I think that risk has somewhat declined. And let's look at it from a scientific level also. So according to this CNN article, if the vacant seat is middle seat is vacant, then the odds of you catching it are 1 in 7,700. Otherwise, in a normal full plane, it is 4,300. But of course, there are a lot of assumptions based in this article, of which is a 2-hour flight. Plus, it's in America where we know the COVID-19 cases are like very, very high. Yeah. So the point is, I guess it's like some people argue, okay, is this less so in Asia? Because, let's say Malaysia, flying within Malaysia, our infection rates are quite low. Total number of cases is just above 9,000 plus.
Yeah, so apropos what you're saying in terms of airlines and airport operators making it as safe as possible.
And now making masks compulsory. Some airlines are making shields compulsory, like Qatar and Philippines Airlines.
So, for example, if in the past you had to basically turn up to the airport 2 hours before your flight, now you've got to turn up 6 hours before the flight. And I remember the Dubai Airport chief executive, he was cited as saying, this guy called Paul Griffiths, I think late in May, in the middle of May, he said that flying during the COVID era will be as enjoyable as open heart surgery. I'm not kidding. He actually did say that. He'll cite it all over the press, USA Today and what have you, right? And he's true. He is right. Today, if you want to take an international flight, forget about it. You've got to set aside the entire day just to get that and go through the red tape and the blue tape and the black tape.
I read an article on Bloomberg yesterday talking about the differences of business class travel. Okay, so, for the rich or for those who are willing to pay for that comfort, you still get the physical space, but none of the perks. There's no bottles of champagne going up and down the
aisle. There's no bottles of champagne?
And neither
is that. Are you still going to pay 50 grand for like a business class ticket?
It's not like you're going to get served like a 12-course meal. Everything comes on a tray. Yep.
Oh, no.
And everything is sanitized. So it's a whole different world. That's true. But I think for some people, that's something they're prepared to take. The risk is they're willing to, they look at the odds and think, okay, this is fine. I'll go for it. I think to each his own.
And it's not as if you can sail there, because if you get caught on a cruise ship, you're sunk as well. Yeah. No pun intended.
No, but for some people, they really want to, visit their loved ones across the world. They need to get back to school. I think the point is you need to practice your own SOPs, right? Wear that shield, wear
get
that mask.
Get a hazmat suit. Board the plane with looking like someone from Space Odyssey 2010.
Bring your sanitizer. And apparently the window seat is slightly safer than the rest of the plane. So,
is that right?
That's one tip.
Okay. Well, on the back of that bombshell, it's time to wrap up and, come back in a couple more minutes with more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Norman Quinton Cook, also known as Fatboy Slim, with that old pair of jeans. One of the better-known DJs from earlier this century, I think. Well, anyway, here we are grappling with the after effects.
Not that far back, Trunks. Seriously.
20 years is 20 years, my dear.
1990s, yeah.
Actually, no. Was it 90s or 2000s?
1990s. Oh, yeah. I think he even came to Malaysia and played once.
He did?
Yeah, at Life Center.
Well, he wasn't fat then, was he?
He was never fat. I just remember him from that, that song, Right Here, Right Now.
Right Here, Right Now. Right Here, Right Now.
I mean, it's a bit like that Trainspotting era, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And if you're a Trainspotter, that's not a compliment. Okay, so here we are grappling with the after effects of COVID-19 and wondering to ourselves how much time we should spend working from home and how much time we should spend working from the office on site. I mean, the experts have got it settled on a 60-40 ratio. I think 60-40 on-site, 60 on-site, 40 off-site. And of course, people say it's much more productive, don't have to drive to work, spend less money on transport, etc., 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 right? I think that the challenge will be for the boffins to come up with a way in the future for you to replicate the human experience. And that's where technology will step in, I think. I think that's the way forward. Because I think people now are so happy working from home, the bosses are wondering, how do we make sure that we get that team spirit thing going, that communal feeling, that the kind of like company clubby feeling.
Are you sure people are really, really happy?
I think so.
I think some people are happy, some people are less happy. I've got some girlfriends with screaming children. They're like, I cannot wait to get back to the office. Okay, I cannot stand any more time with them. I'm going to burst into flames. You know,
burst into flames.
Yeah,
spontaneous human combustion. Yeah, it is real.
It's real. I mean, they're like, my husband and the children combined cannot tahan anymore.
Actually, that is true.
I really want to go back to the office.
That is
so. There are some people who fall into that camp because they find it's very difficult, and this is really just being productive. Being efficient because people keep interrupting you. Even if you've got a locked door, even if you've got your own study,
okay,
you can't completely ignore your screaming child outside, right?
So there will be some who want to go back, right?
And some who don't.
And some who don't. So maybe this
makes sense because it's a hybrid, right?
Correct.
That's what they're promoting on the BBC.
Yeah, and in the other place where I work, there's already that hybrid arrangement, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday off. You want to ask yourself, how do you do it, right? How do you make sure that you get that same communal team spirit thing alive? Not just like to light it, but to keep it alive.
Yeah, you mentioned technology. I'm not a
virtual
fan of it.
Reality,
I'm not a big fan of these Zoom meetings. I think something is lost in the process.
Yes.
Plus, I don't know about you, but the Zoom fatigue is real. It's real for me. And it's just not the same sitting in the meeting room all together. And then, you know, there's that icebreaker where you make fun of each other. And then you get to the office stuff. And then you still make fun of each other. Somehow Zoom takes that away a little bit. And it's harder to read people's signals on a computer screen.
I understand all that, right? So how can technology guys, people like Elon Musk, how can they solve the problem? Okay.
Does he communicate? I thought he dictates.
He's not the best communicator in the world, right? But he's also really one of the richest. So what happens if you have an avatar? You know, like an avatar, for example, the digital version of you who goes into the workplace doesn't and is not vulnerable to the viruses.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
The real version is scary. I cannot imagine the avatar version.
But what happens if that world exists in the future, right?
I like the real world, Chuang.
No, I agree
the
with
me
you.
So, world so do where I, so do I exist. I, right?
So do you think this might spur a new wave of technology?
Yes, I think SARS taught us that. SARS introduced video conferencing, which was the way to go. But it also, post-SARS, you know, when SARS died down, literally, and there were much less infections, video conferencing coexisted with people still taking business trips.
Okay.
So I think, yes, COVID-19, now we are all kind of semi-stuck at home. I mean, or some of us have gone back to the office, but definitely not doing so much business travel as usual. Maybe being more willing to do meetings offsite, you know, via Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever. Choose your poison. But I think what will happen is that there will be a hybrid. For some meetings, you still want that personal connection.
How can people like Elon Musk solve the problem of a 60-40 on-site-off-site rate? Okay, give an example. Since you mentioned Elon Musk, right?
I mentioned, right?
Do you know that he's got a little known company called Neuralink? Do you know
is this
Neuralink
the one
does?
Where they put the chips into the pig's brain? Is it?
No, it's supposed to be on the human brain.
Okay, but
so it can solve blindness, it can solve like a polio, it can, you know, address all these medical things. But it also gives you a lot of possibilities, right? So I don't know. He might use his vehicle and it could be even bigger than a SpaceX. Who knows? I'm not saying he will, but who knows, right?
Yeah, I'm not one to say, okay, let's not embrace the technology. But I'm also one to say some of the old-fashioned ways work the best. In the business world, some deals are the best. When you make that handshake, you have that dinner or lunch together.
I agree.
The eyes meet, the connection is there, and you know the guy is not, you know.
Yeah, dodgy, right?
Yeah.
But
and
what
you
happens
need
if
that.
You,
Zoom doesn't give you that.
What happens if the counterpart on the deal table is not willing to meet in person? So then how do you do it, right? I think that is the issue here.
Then you go back to the hybrid model. But for me, I like the old-fashioned way.
Of course. Okay, well, tell us what you think. How would you think business evolves in the 21st century and beyond? Tell us what you think. Twitter is at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Next up is Starship. We built the city. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Def Leppard with Pour Some Sugar on Me. Now, before we go on to talk about exactly another kind of sugar, let's talk about some of the WhatsApps that's been coming in. Ro, our good friend, talking to us from the radio waves, actually WhatsApp blah. He says that I'd fly, but short journeys, KL to Penang, 45 minutes. And he says that the unfortunate reality is that airlines can't afford to fly with social distancing. Good point. But he finds it odd that when he used to fly a lot back then, the cabin crew would occasionally sterilize the cabin by walking up and down the aisle holding cans of disinfectant. And they didn't do it for this domestic flight, which seems like a good thing to do. So
I think it'll be the norm today, right? For them to come around and spray.
I think you'll be so sterilized, you'll come out dazed and confused.
It's the new normal,
unfortunately. It's the new normal, yeah.
And Break the Chain on Twitter said, this article must be from frequent flying scientists.
FFS.
Since they seem to be a proponent of flying. Well, not really proponent, but they're just telling you what the mathematical odds are. But it's based on assumptions, right? So if your assumptions are wrong, then the odds change, unfortunately.
Hot off the press, coming to you from FFS Weekly,
yes.
Frequent Flying Scientist Weekly. So anyway, talking about sugar, another kind of sugar is not coincidentally, the next Prime Minister of Japan will be an individual named Yoshihide Suga. Okay, not sure. Suga.
No pun intended,
of course. Well, he's a close ally of Shinzo Abe and the chief cabinet secretary of the Japanese government for the past 8 years. Suga was selected to lead the ruling Liberal Democratic Party yesterday by a landslide majority. He will replace Shinzo Abe, who is stepping down because of ill health.
Well, Mr. Suga will officially become Prime Minister after a vote in the Japanese Parliament tomorrow. And, you know, it's something we have talked about because we discussed the impact of Shinzo Abe's leadership on the morning brief when his resignation was announced earlier this month. And you can listen to that podcast. What legacy will Shinzo Abe leave? I think Abenomics is one big one, obviously, on the BFM app or on Spotify. But what do we know about Mr. Suga? Well, he's 71 years old, so no spring chicken. But of a northern strawberry farmer. He's from Akita, and he apparently says that he has started from nothing with no political connections, but the LDP, with all its history and traditions, has made him the leader that he is today. And I guess he's a party diehard from the sounds of it then.
Yeah, it seems as if that's the case. Well, I guess there's lots of references for the more satirical media platforms out there. For those of you who remember Black Rain, the movie from the 90s with Michael Douglas, well, the bad guy was also named Suga.
The funny things you remember, Trump, but never
mind. So
I guess
what is interesting here is that he with him at the helm, people reckon that this means continued support for Abenomics, especially, right? Monetary stimulus by the Bank of Japan, very, very close security alliances with America. Obviously, Japan is a bit
Abe was the first person to visit Trump when he won the election.
Abe, under his time in the second tenure, he actually called for a remilitarization of the Japanese army. He did,
It didn't succeed, though.
He didn't succeed, but he was a bit, he thought that the Chinese, the rising Chinese influence in the area was cause for concern. Henceforth, the defense. Up spending. The next thing to watch, of course, is whether Suga will call for a snap general election to seek a popular mandate and let him form a durable administration. And there is a strong call within the LDP, not the Hiwi, the Liberal Democratic Party in Japan, for polls in October.
Yeah, but Suga has played down that expectation, saying it would be hard to call in elections until Japanese experts have declared the COVID-19 pandemic to be under control. Now, I think what's interesting is how the market's going to react, because, you know, I like to bring it back to the Japanese stock exchange. So far, actually, I think there's a little bit of interest in Japan, partially driven by the fact that, you know, the rest of the world has done really, really well. But Japanese stocks, maybe some of them still remain undervalued. And the first person off the mark on this has been Warren Buffett, who has bought the conglomerates, right?
Yeah, the Japanese trading houses.
Yeah, to the tune of $6 billion. No small sum. But, you know, he's a value investor and he can wait. So he's probably looking at the Japanese undervalued stocks and think, there is value here. compared to the crazy run that we've seen in the Fang territory, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know whether this is going to be a start of a renaissance period for the Japanese stock exchange where global fund managers think, hey, there's something in here, you know. I think, that, of course, the risk is always the yen. If the yen appreciates, then you will see the stock market come under pressure.
It might not. But in the last, well, since the 21st century started, there's been 9 Japanese prime ministers. So it's not as if there's been one at the helm for the last 20 years. Okay, moving on to another country, which is not coincidentally Japan's best friend, the Americas. Wildfires have ravaged the west coast of the USA. And predictably, Donald Trump has said that it's not climate change. And he said that it's going to get cooler soon.
I wonder where he gets his scientific data from.
It's coming to winter, or autumn, right?
No, so, but I mean, I think it's more than that. It's the, like the weather, the world is getting cooler. It's not just the winter thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got enough time for Trump on that basis. We'll come back after this with more local stories. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Clash with Lost in the Supermarket. Okay, here we are, 15 minutes past 6, or rather 10 minutes to 7 o'clock. I'm Koo Soo Chong, joined by Wong Chan-ing, and this is the time of morning when we look at the newspapers. And I'm going to start with this blockbuster from The Star Online about how there's potential sign of alien life on Venus. So I click through, and it's actually just microbes, okay, bacteria. So yeah.
Didn't they find stuff on Mars also? Or am I wrong? So, one of the other planets?
Yeah. Or I don't know. Maybe Uranus, but I'm not sure.
Astron. Okay. Moving on. I have the New Straits Times in front of me. And it's about, elite water guards leap into action in October.
Elite water guards?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
There's water guards and then there's elite water guards. Is that right?
So basically, it's, you know, we had that unfortunate incident. Was it 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago? Remember when basically, like, without notice, half of Selangor and half of KL suddenly had no water, right? All our taps ran dry because, you know, there was environmental pollution. Well, apparently the new Environment Crime Prevention Unit, or Unit Cegah Jenayah Alam Sekitar, is set to start operations next month. And this is on the back of the minister announcing that this elite unit will comprise personnel from the Department of Environment, different government industries, so that, you know, the water issues of pollution can be addressed in a holistic and proactive approach.
Holistic and proactive approach.
Yes, and I think the point is, yeah, because people were honestly annoyed, right? I mean, it was huge inconvenience to everyone, to businesses, to suddenly have their taps run dry.
Absolutely.
Without notice. My point is, this is not the first time, okay? What are we doing about enforcement? And then subsequently, what are we doing about punishment?
Well, let's see how holistic the solution will be. Well, anyway, on the front page of the Malaysian Insight, obviously one of the 1MDB investigation continues in the courts, and the first 1MDB CEO is now in the dock and talking about how Najib actually used 1MDB funds to hire media consultants. Go and read that in the Malaysian Insight. And actually, most of the portals are discussing that. Also, in the Edge CEO brief, which is a very good read in the morning for business people, according to the Edge, Tan Sri Zamzam Zarani, formerly of Telecom Malaysia, will be appointed Maybank chairman soon. He's going to take over from Datuk Mohayani Shamsuddin, and that's according to sources familiar with the development.
Okay, and I'm moving on to the UK because I'm that kind of lady.
Yep.
I'm looking at the Financial Times, and the article is actually quite interesting because it's asking, what happens if Trump loses but refuses to concede? Because we know
that's highly likely, by the way.
He's really going to say it's fake news fraud. Yeah. I can imagine the headlines.
Electoral fraud.
Yeah. Postal votes, all fake. You can imagine that war will be held on Twitter for sure. The question is, I think people are starting to really think about that because, you know, American politics is extremely polarized, and ballot voting is going to be accepted in some counties, which will come in later because according to the law, they're only allowed to start counting it after the polls have closed. So, you know, and it's going to be a very, very tightly fought presidential elections. I think everybody's going to look on certain swing states, in particular Florida. So what happens if, let's say, you know, he loses? Is he going to concede gracefully, leave the White House? in January allow the new guy, President Biden, to kind of take over? I mean, there are question marks, right? And America, whatever you say, is the number one country when it comes to economy, politics.
Yeah.
So I think all eyes will be on that.
Well, based on his behavior, one would surmise that might not happen. And the fact that 83% of Americans will be eligible for postal voting. One more item in the Star. Now, Dato Sri Ismail Sabri Yaacob, our defense minister, said there's been reports from a foreign news agency that a Chinese company with reported links to military and intelligence networks have collected data on 1,400 Malaysians, and he and his people are going to be investigating that allegation.
Okay. Then the Malaysian Kini has an article on apparently some 700 acres of forest reserve given to friends, family under ex-leader Shafi. So I think we are going to see lots of Sabah headlines crossing the news wires as we get to the Sabah elections on the 26th of September.
Of course. Okay, 6:55 in the morning. We'll come back after this with a 7 o'clock news bulletin. In the meantime, Vertical Horizon with everything you want. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.